A few things everyone should know before boarding an airline flight. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. In yesterday's special feature, I talked with Kate Hannay of FlyersRights.org about new DOT rules taking effect in April that require that passengers be let off a stranded airliner after 3 hours on the tarmac. And if it gets to 2 hours, certain other provisions kick in early, including access to potable water, your medications, lavatories that aren't overflowing, and more. Kate pointed out that without some action by passengers on their own behalf, violations may not come to the attention of the Department of Transportation to trigger the new fines. So it seemed like a good idea to get Kate back today for Airline Travel 101, what every passenger should know about how to handle strandings and other airline issues. Kate, it sounds like the world's going to be a little different place starting on April 29th.
In relationship to the new rules that the president and the Department of Transportation have just passed, every airline passenger that boards a flight after April 29th, once they sit down in their seat and buckle their seatbelt, should turn on a timer. And they should be timing the length of time that they sit on the tarmac. And when they hit the three-hour mark, they need to have an alarm go off. They need to document everything that happens, because that pilot should be giving those passengers the option to get off the plane. He actually should have been preparing for that at the two-hour mark. And at the two-hour mark, they are required to provide you with food, potable water, hygienic toilets, temperature control, access to your medicines. So these are things that passengers must be aware of, and they have to be prepared to advocate for themselves. They need to be prepared to speak up at that third hour and say, am I going to be given the right to get off the plane? It has been 3 hours. It's my understanding that's my right. They are going to have to address that. If they don't, passengers need to be prepared to file a complaint, both with us at FlyersRights.org and the Department of Transportation, which we can take the complaint and also file it with DOT for them. That is something they must do, hit both of us, because otherwise we can't hold the DOT to account for enforcement of these issues. And so there's a $27,500 per person fine that can be imposed after 3 hours on the tarmac if they don't give you a chance to get off the plane. But the level to which the passengers are willing to complain about these events is going to be the level to which the DOT assesses fines, because it's up to $27,500, and whether or not the DOT gives the passengers some of those fines. They can do it, but whether or not they will has to do with whether or not the passengers say, enough is enough, this is not okay, I'm not happy, these are my losses, and I want this money.
Well, now let's back up just for a minute, because I hadn't even thought about this. When you get on a plane, as soon as you get in and buckle your seatbelt, you mentioned you should start a timer running. A lot of tarmac strandings happen in situations where if you look out the window at your location, your specific location, it's not necessarily an ugly weather day.
Right.
I mean, so you have to assume that this could be a problem an hour from now and start the timer as soon as you sit down. And if you get to click it off once you get in the air, that's fine. But I had always thought about this as, you know, they come on the PA system and say, you know, folks, we've got a weather issue, we're going to divert to Rochester, Minnesota to get out your timer and be ready to do it then. No, you have to do it when you get on a plane, even if it doesn't look like it's going to be delayed.
That's right. As soon as you sit down, you need to start the timer. I can't tell you how many times we've had calls from people that are still sitting at the gate a couple hours after they sat in their seat. And sometimes even the door's open, but the pilot is saying, do not get off the plane. We can't let you off the plane. When they call us at Flyers Rights, often I'm confronted with how long have you been sitting there, and they can't say exactly because they don't know, because the boarding process happens before the actual departure time should have happened. And if the plane hasn't moved, sometimes people just lose track of time. They know it's been a while, but they don't know how long. So it's imperative that people start the clock. And then if they do take off, wait until either they land, wheels down, and start the clock again, because taxi in times often take more than 3 hours, especially at congested airports like Atlanta or, New York, Chicago, can often happen in more than 3 hours. Or if they're diverted, they need to hit the clock. As soon as the wheels touch the ground, you should be hitting your timer so that it's tracking the amount of time that you are actually on the ground. It also is going to keep them honest. You know, we track all of the time reported by the airlines that they have been on the ground at diversion airports or for canceled flights or for multiple gate returns or taxi outs or taxi ins. We track and we compare passengers' experiences with what the airlines report, and we find that the airlines lie a lot about how long people have actually sat on the ground. And they use excuses like, well, the door was open. Passengers could have gotten off the plane. But in actuality, the pilot was saying, no one can exit the aircraft.
Okay, now, when I hear you say that if you find yourself in this situation, you need to complain, let's talk when we come back from the break about just what that process should involve. Kate Hanai is my guest. More in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org, talking about what you as a passenger should know to do if you wind up in a tarmac stranding, and especially once the new DOT rule kicks in, which is expected at this point anyway to be April 29th, what you should specifically do after the three-hour point is reached on a plane that's sitting on the ground and where you have not had access to the terminal. Kate, what exactly should people do? And I think we want to also make it a point not to tell people to go too far.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's what we say on our brand new iPhone app, which we're releasing on February 15th. We have exact instructions for how to nicely notify the flight attendant and the pilot if you can reach the pilot, otherwise the flight attendants, that you have been sitting for 3 hours and that you're wanting to bring that to their attention and that you are actively wanting to get off the flight or simply to bring to their attention that you've been on the flight for 3 hours and that you're aware that that some notification should be given to the pilot, who then needs to notify the plane of their options. And it can be very nicely done. You definitely don't want to be someone hostile. You don't want to present any type of a risk to the flight attendants, who sometimes can be a little trigger happy on having people arrested. But that said, these are your rights, and the only way you're ever going to be compensated is if you do actually speak up. If no one speaks up, there will be no fines imposed, and you will have no right to protest.
Well, I think it's important, too, to note, I know, for example, your coalition has a bunch of flight attendants as members. They, in general, are on your side in this. They're your friend in this ordeal.
Interestingly enough, individually, every flight attendant I've ever met has been on our side. But their unions have not come to support us because of their contract issues. And specifically, flight attendants and pilots for most of the legacy carriers have contracts that penalize them in the sense that they're not paid once they take passengers back to the gate, or if they allow them off. So it's really a problem, and it needs to be solved. But what I found interesting is that every time I've been on Capitol Hill, and there've been hordes of Delta and Northwest Airlines flight attendants there who you would think would be not happy with us, they see our badges and they go, "Oh, we love you." You know, and thousands of them around the Capitol doing lobby days, and they say, "We love you. Thank you for everything that you're doing. We so want you to succeed."
Well, I mean, an airline cabin can be a pretty hostile place, a pretty dangerous place, you know, if 8, 9, 10 hours go by sitting on the tarmac.
That's right. And the flight attendants have no self-defense training. So it's a real problem for them to deal with the hostility that can erupt inside of an aircraft. And it's really up to them to gauge how people are doing, you know, the culture of the plane and whether or not people have hit their limits in terms of what they can handle being stuck on the tarmac. So it's a very unfortunate situation for both the pilots and the flight attendants. It's something that we have offered both unions, all of the pilots unions and all the flight attendants unions, to come to their aid and fight for their contracts to be changed. They haven't taken us up on that, which causes me some concern in that I don't know how hard they're actually fighting to get those contracts changed. And if they don't get them changed, then the pilots and the flight attendants are going to be more likely to try to get around the rule. And that's my one concern about our new rule.
All right. Now, let's get to the specifics of what to do once it gets past 3 hours, or if you finally do get into the terminal 9 or 11 hours later and this has gone on. Who specifically should you contact?
The first thing you should do is contact FlyersRights.org. And the reason for that is that we initially reach out to the media and we let the media know there's a plane that's been sitting for over 3 hours. They have not been given the option to get off the plane. By law, they should. And, you know, we need to get the word out. The media usually will send a crew over to the airport and they'll start interviewing people, which will apply downward pressure on the Department of Transportation to impose the fines. So that's the first thing they should do is call us. We document every flight. Now, if it's after April 29th, you know, we're going to have the capacity on our iPhone app for them, as soon as they log on to the app, they'll be able to put their flight number, the airport, and the time that they boarded the flight. Our app is going to start clocking the amount of time on the tarmac, and then they'll be able to, we will actually be notified instantly that we've got someone on the tarmac that's using the clock,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be able to track how long they're on the tarmac. And I believe the second thing that they're going to want to do is file a complaint with the Department of Transportation, which we can help them with. And we will be able to show them exactly what needs to go in the complaint so that it's responded to quickly.
Okay, now the iPhone app that you're talking about, or actually contacting the media, obviously that has to happen before they get off the plane.
That's right. That needs to happen before they get off the plane. If they're sitting there for 3 hours and there's no effort being made to give them their food or water or hygienic toilets, and if they're being denied all of the rights that they know they now have, the right to get off the plane in 3 hours, then they need to call us. We get the media over there, and they're going to be given the right to get off once we take those measures. And they're going to need to communicate with the flight attendant and let them know that they're aware of their rights and that they're wondering, you know, if the pilot is indeed going to give them the option to get off the aircraft, especially if they're sitting there and it's sunny and there's no safety or security restraints. You know, if there's no terrorist on board,
mm-hmm.
you know, preventing the pilot from allowing you off, and it's a sunny day and you're not aware of any terrorist event happening inside the airport, which is extremely rare, then they need to be giving you that option to get off the plane. And you always have to be considerate. I mean, it really doesn't matter what is going on inside the airplane. You have to be considerate when you're talking to a flight attendant. You can't be angry. You can't be openly hostile. You need to be rational, but you need to speak up. And if you speak up in a considerate and intentional manner, then you will be heard. And it is going to require that, for enforcement of the rule.
All right. Well, let's talk about your iPhone app when it comes out on the 15th. I think that's going to be a good time to remind people about it. And I know we're going to be talking more over the summer because, if nothing else, Ray LaHood's going to want to make an example of somebody just to make sure this thing, you know, sinks in.
That's right. And it's a couple million dollars if it's a fully loaded 747 that does this, which happens fairly frequently, actually. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the impact of such a large fine.
Well, if you are on a plane and get stuck, that number is 1-877-FLYERS-6, and that's Flyers with a Y.
And Kate, if they want to get in touch with you through the website, that would be a more leisurely process, obviously, not something you'd want to try to do on the plane. But if they call that number, somebody will get back to them quickly, right?
That's right. Within 60 seconds, if they call us, and also my cell phone number is on the hotline voicemail. So if they hear the hotline voicemail, we instruct them to actually call my cell phone 24/7. So if they're stuck on the tarmac and should need anything, any kind of coaching or help or understanding of what to do next, if for some reason they don't have an iPhone and they need to reach us, then they should call the hotline because we're there for them quickly.
My guest has been the woman who never sleeps, Kate Hanai.
Yes.
But anyway, Kate, we really appreciate your being here. And again, www.flyersrights.org or 1-877-FLYERS-6 if you find yourself in this situation. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Paul.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.